Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K Fishbane.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
I also always use the Arrested Development line. There's always money in the banana stand.
How much clearer can I say? There's always money in the banana stand!
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Guys, fishier than ever. As we welcome you back into the Raheemy and Harris Show, being hoisted by Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer today.
Fishiest guy in the media room by far at Halas Hall, correct?
I mean, you never know what he's up to. Yeah. He's always talking to somebody in there, like, you know what's going on? The whispers of Kevin Fishbane and
fishy.
The fishy comments. I mean, it's all there. But yes, Dan and I host the Take the North podcast together. We are hanging out with you until 2 o'clock today. We've got five on it, five best topics of the day that we will kick around coming up at noon. But joining us now, without further ado, on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is the one and only Kevin Fishbane, senior writer at The Athletic, covering the Chicago Bears, and he too has a podcast. He is the host of the Breaking In with Kevin Fishbane, a sports media podcast. Fishy Business, what's happening, man?
Happy Friday, boys. It's great to be with you.
3-day weekend, Fishy. It's a 3-day weekend. We're getting ready for it. We're going to start with a little Bears question. We'll get to your podcast in a couple minutes. But Grody and I have been talking for a couple months now about the temptation that Chicago is going to have, Bears fans are going to have, media members are going to have to bite every little shiny lure of Ben Johnson hype that's out there. How do you kind of contextualize what we're experiencing with Ben in the early stages and resist the temptation to make the proclamation that some already have, that it's all different now, it's never been this good, it's all different now?
Dan, I like when fans have high hopes. Let them, let their imaginations run wild. But, the story of the week, right, was that we saw Ben Johnson's demeanor at practice. And so I sat there and I thought, what do I remember from May and June storylines for first-year head coach? I remember John Fox fixed the culture at Halas Hall. I remember Matt Nagy's offense was aggressive and innovative. I remember Matt Eberflus, we were watching guys hustling and they were hitting in camp and it was just a whole new practice that we had never seen before.
Get your track shoes on, remember?
Exactly. And we saw it that first year. I could say those things to throw a little water on the bells and whistles and the excitement. What Ben Johnson has going for him, though, like that's a little different, is we could actually look at who he is, what he's accomplished, and say, hey, at least to use a John Fox line, there's skins on the wall there. Not as a head coach, but we know what this guy's accomplished as a play caller. We know how respected he was in Detroit. And we also know that this roster is more talented than some of the ones I just went through. So, I think it's important to remember that there have been a lot of coaches here since Lovie Smith. And there was a lot of excitement at times for each of them in season one, but that maybe this guy is supposed to be different. And, of course, we won't really know that until the fall.
And I don't think any of us were covering the Bears when Mark Trestman was here, right? None of us were covering?
Kevin and I were both.
I was going to bring that up, actually, Grody, because I didn't start until Mark Trestman's first training camp.
Oh, Jesus.
And I missed OTAs and minicamp. I got my first day on the Bears beat was the first day of 2013 training camp. And the first practice, I'll never forget, Mark Trestman yelled at the players, "This isn't a symposium," as his way of getting them to kind of move and talk. And I'll never forget like that phrase because I wondered how many people here, from players, coaches, to support staff, to media, to fans, can define symposium? But there probably were stories that day like, hey, Mark Trestman is really setting the standard here by making sure these players know this is not a symposium.
I'm now picturing, by the way, like a big poster in the locker room with the word symposium and then an X through it. This is not a symposium.
Fish, my first day on the beat, as you may recall, was week one Monday of that same season, Tressman's first year. And my first big assignment at the Tribune was to write a Sunday takeout for week one about the offensive guru that was Mark Tressman. I'm sure we could find that story, read some of the quotes in it, and giggle a little bit about how, it felt good early on. And they set records offensively that first year. It was like, there's going to be flashes, right? And then all, as we all know, the path toward sustained success is much bumpier than most people in Chicago want to realize.
It's about consistency, right? Like you could even talk about like that little brief spurt when the Bears beat the Packers on Thanksgiving in 2015.
And you're
like, hey, where's this thing going? Yeah. Right. You could point to 2023. There's plenty of people here who talked about the Justin Fields run in 2022. They didn't win any of those games, but look, we've all gone through this in this town with this team, and it's just about finding. I mean, look, nobody represented that more than Matt Nagy, Coach of the Year,
yeah, mm-hmm.
2018. Yep. Like, there were not people. I mean, you know, I always remember the Giants game from that year because that was the first time we kind of saw these little questions about clock management and some decision making. You lost to a team you probably shouldn't have lost to, and then you know, you point to the playoff loss. But I mean, you guys remember what this city was like the summer of 2019. It was the summer of Mitch. It was the summer of Matt Nagy. It was like everything, all the bells and whistles. So we've seen these little spurts here and there, and now it's like, can Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams be the ones to give this team some sustained success, right? What was the last time the Bears made the playoffs in back-to-back years? We're talking 20 years now. So that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, and that's why I say, like, to some of these guys, like we're talking about the older coaches, some of their, believe it or not, even though at the end of Matt Nagy's tenure here, everybody was done with him, every year that goes by, his legacy ages better because he won in 2018. I would say that about Dave Wannstedt, who did not have a good record here, but he won a damn playoff game, and the Bears have won 6 playoff games since 1985. So each of these guys, now John Fox's resume has not aged well, his time here has not aged well, nor has Mark Tressman's, but some of those guys, and I know you, Weeder, you were a fan of Matt Nagy coming in as well. It was time for him to go, but his time here, his legacy, I should say, has aged well.
Yeah, well, people apply some revisionist history to some of what 2018 and 2019 were. Look, like, it's hard. It is hard to sustain success, and you have to realize how steep that climb is. Kev, we've been talking a lot about the Caleb Williams, I called it a rumpus earlier. That's my word of the week for that. You can have whatever opinion you want to have on whether Caleb should have talked this week, when he should talk. But when he does talk, when he gets back up to a lectern, what are the three bullet point questions you want to know first and foremost the next time you get to hear from QB1?
Did you try to get the Bears to trade for Kevin O'Connell? Just jump right in?
It's not a bad question.
When you saw that excerpt, I thought there was nothing from Caleb Williams' family, father, in terms of thoughts on the Bears that really, like, nothing knocked me over, like, reading that. It was, you know, I think what was interesting was that Caleb himself went on the record in that book, and there were some things about what Caleb was telling people close to him. Like, that was kind of new information, and I think Caleb Williams, you think about what he went through last year. I mean, this guy had to talk to us after the Hail Mary, talking to us after his offensive coordinator gets fired, talking to us after his head coach gets fired. He handles everything really well.
Right.
And so I'm not concerned about how he's going to handle it. I think it'll be interesting to know from him, like, what was it that got him to come to terms with wanting, like, the Bears. Like, is he embracing the challenge of what this franchise has gone through? Things like that. And we've already heard him talk about Ben Johnson, but I think it's fair to say, hey, like, you apparently had your visit to Halas Hall and came out of there and said, I want this. Why? Like, why did you want this? And maybe how close were you to trying to, as in his words, to nuke it, to blow it all up and to, you know, mess with the whole draft process? Yeah, I'm curious to hear more. I want to read more of that chapter. I want to read the whole book. Mm-hmm. It's all fascinating, and I am confident that Caleb Williams knows how to handle this. Like, he has been in the spotlight since he was 15 years old. like he's not afraid of this stuff. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him when he does talk.
So, since the second he was on that stage at the Combine, like that we talked to him and he was ready for all the questions that he had coming, all that stuff in the pre-draft process that was going on for sure. Kevin, on the field, in the OTAs, what were some of the biggest things you took away from actually the practice that we saw on Wednesday?
You know, we talk about the way Ben Johnson reacted to things, mm-hmm. but I think it's important to talk about the details. I know every single coach says that he's on the details and all that stuff, but like he wanted these certain things to be so perfect, or maybe not perfect, but like on what he wants this early. And I think there's something to be said about setting that standard in May. Because we heard my gosh, the amount of times we heard the word accountability last year was mind-numbing. And now you have this coach who is just, this is how it's going to be in May, without pads, well before our first game. If you are lined up a half a yard outside where you're supposed to be, we're going to talk about it. And I think that's an important thing to see. And again, it's not some revolutionary coaching strategy or tactic. It's just not necessarily one that was very evident last year. And it's not necessarily one that Caleb Williams experienced a whole lot of during his first year. Now, I think there was a lot of coaching and critiques that happened behind closed doors that we didn't see. And I think in some ways, maybe Dan, you talk about revisionist history, like, you know, obviously last year's coaching staff didn't work, but I it's not like these guys were just doing nothing. I mean, there was some coaching going on and there was some, obviously a lot of things that weren't working on both sides. But I think my takeaway, cause you're not going to take a whole lot away from the actual performance right on the field at these things, but I did take note of, okay, how on the details this coach is going to be this soon. He told us, he goes, we just gave him their install. This is day two. Yeah. And he already had some issues with what they were doing, where they were lining up. He wasn't going to let those things slide.
Kevin Fishbane is a senior writer for The Athletic and also the host of the Breaking In with Kevin Fishbane podcast, a sports media podcast specifically. I know you've got the episode with Courtney Cronin up and running right now. Really quickly, Kevin, what was the motivation, the inspiration behind doing this podcast, and who do you have on next?
Well, listen, you guys host a podcast. You do a phenomenal job. And I felt like it was time for me to host a podcast. And I don't want to compete with Take the North.
No, you can't. I mean, that's impossible. Oh,
that's, yeah. And there's a couple other Savvy Bears podcasts we don't need to name to, So I was like, and I love origin stories. I'm fascinated by people in our industry who've done some incredible things. And I you know, want to know how everybody got their start. Hope to have you guys on the podcast one day. You mentioned Courtney Cronin. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, this week's guest, the first member of Hallis Hall to appear on the podcast, did a great job. And again, we know each other so well. But I don't really know like what your guys like what you were doing day to day in your first job. I think it's interesting for people of all walks of life to learn how everybody got their starts in their careers.
Yeah. Happy to tell you if you pay me some money.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, we come with a cost now. That's the way we roll around here, Fishy Business. It's not you. You're not the Fishy Business. The Fishy Business is sitting right here in this studio. Kevin, you're the best, man. Great stuff. I appreciate you.
All right. Have a good weekend, guys.
See you, Kev.